Good morning.
Good morning.
Delighted to be back and to have the opportunity to stand before you and speak this morning. I want to thank all that filled in and preached while I was away. And it's good to be back home always. We enjoyed thoroughly our trip, which began with a gospel meeting at the Moscow Church in Idaho. We learned that it's Moscow, not Moscow, even though it's spelled that way. They said it's like Idaho, it's Moscow. So we learned that while we were there early on. And we're delighted to be with a group of Christians that for the first time that we were there, we had not, we only had met a few of them previously on another occasion when I held a meeting in Calgary. Actually, the couple that was here on this end were up there. Their names Guy and Diana Buzga, and I learned while we were there that he and his family were pretty much the original group that started the church there. And since then, they've grown to about the mid-20s in their number, and was very impressed with their dedication, their love for God. One of the things that was surprising to me is that every service they had a different song leader, even with a group that small. Very talented with the ones that are there. They've had a new couple move in with their kids from California recently. And the day we were there, a young man coming to college in the area had begun to attend with them for the first time. And we stayed with the family that's there on the first row during the week, Larry and Stephanie Jones and their family. They actually visited here last year and were with us on a Wednesday night. And they've known the Demery family for some time. And then during the week, I noticed the oldest son named Joel right here. I kept noticing his, during the invitation, it seemed to bother him a lot. He thought a lot all week about obeying the Word of God and obeying the gospel and becoming a Christian. And I could tell it was weighing heavy on his heart. And then I got a call on Monday morning that he had been baptized after the meeting, and was delighted to hear that and rejoice with that family. And they were very encouraging group to be with, and we enjoyed that opportunity. And then, of course, we took a few days off to celebrate our anniversary while we were out there. But really, again, glad to be back home. Had an interesting thing happen on our way home. I'd been preparing for the lesson today, actually before I left, and then off and on during the time I was there, I worked on it and prepared. And then beginning at Seattle down to Phoenix, I was fine-tuning it, studying it, working on it on my laptop. And then, of course, you know, you have that announcement, prepare for landing, you know, put everything up. So I didn't have the bag that my laptop went in, so I put it in the pocket in front of me. Then proceeded when we landed to get the rest of the luggage out, but not my laptop. That had, of course, my sermon, my PowerPoint, all of that on it for the lesson today. So from Phoenix, and the airplane was going to Pittsburgh. So somewhere between Phoenix and Pittsburgh is my laptop, I hope. We'll find out on that. But from Phoenix then to Louisville, I began to work on what I remembered in my head of the lesson. And I made the determination. I had another one I've been working on preparing that's a part of this series, and decided I will use that one today and wait on the other one to arrive, hopefully, this week. Either way, we will complete what I had planned for today. But this one is entitled Addiction and Spiritual Health. And I'm going to, it's a part of the series, but it deals with actually a time in which we can be addicted in a good way to the right things. And let's think about how multitudes of individuals are addicted to the wrong things. And that's what we have talked about in recent lessons. We've talked about the dangers of alcohol and the dangers of drug addiction. And there are others that we will continue to talk about in the next few lessons. But there are a lot of people suffering because of addiction. There's no question about that. But in the lesson this morning, I want to focus and think about one good thing that we can actually be addicted to that is not only good, but it will result in our going to heaven. And it's exactly what we should be addicted to. And it's used in 1 Corinthians 16, and it's used actually with the word addicted in the King James Version in verse 13. Read this verse with me. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now think about how that word is used. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Let's think about the word addicted and begin by thinking about what God made us to be. God made us in His own image. We learn in Genesis 1 and verse 27. We are to be a perfect reflection of God's nature. We are to become more and more like Him. That's what godliness is all about. But in the case of many today, the God of this world has blinded their minds and led them away from the image of God and to be more like this world and focus on the things of this world, trying to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. That's the problem. That, again, He wants to take us away from what God created us to be. 2 Corinthians 4, the latter part says, who is the image of God? So again, what Satan is trying to do is blind our minds, get us to focus on the wrong things, get us to be addicted to the wrong things, and not to the one thing that can save our soul. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. All right, we behold God's glory. How do we see that? The God that we cannot even see with our eyes. Well, we behold it in the Word of God. When we are in the Word and we behold the glory of the Lord, it transforms us into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. So there's the idea of what are we focusing on? What are we addicted to? And are we being transformed into the right image or the wrong image? One of the great blessings, but possibly a great curse as well, is that man is created by God with the power of choice. You know, wouldn't it be convenient and easy if we were created to be good and we couldn't be anything else? Then we wouldn't have to think about it. We wouldn't have to struggle. We wouldn't have to worry. If we were like the salmon that's going to swim upstream and it doesn't think about it, it just does it. And we didn't have to think. We didn't have the power of choice, that we were made by God to be good and we were going to be good. That would be simple, but that's not the way it is. We are created with choice. And so we choose which way to go. We have the ability to choose evil. Every one of us. We can choose evil, but we also have the ability to choose good. So literally, our addictions are our own choice. What we give ourselves to is up to us. We will choose our own master. What we cannot choose to do is to live in sin and then go to heaven. You can't choose both. You either choose God in this world that we live in today, now, and then receive eternal life with God in heaven, or you choose the opposite. And what you cannot choose is to be neutral. You will make a choice. You choose things that you will focus on and live for. The new life in Christ is a life that must be free from the old addictions of sin. You see, what makes us in need of Christ and in need of salvation and forgiveness is what we have chosen in the past. and what has led us away from God and into sin and separated God from us. So we must choose to put that old life to death. We must end those old addictions of sin in order to live a new life with Christ. In other words, what we are fighting is what John describes in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, when he says that we're not to love the world or the things of the world, but we're to love God. We're to focus on God and eternal life. And that what is the world that he defines there is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Again, things that the flesh lusts for. This is what we've been describing and talking about in alcohol addiction or drug addiction. This is what these individuals caught up in this live for every day. This is what they focus on. This is what, again, is important. Or the lust of the eyes, when one is caught up in covetous desire for more things than what money will buy. And that's what he lives for. That's what he has chosen. That's what he is addicted to. You see why he calls covetousness idolatry? It becomes his God. It becomes the controlling thing in his life. And then with others, it's pride of life. It's position. It's power. And they will do practically anything again in order to have it and to obtain it and to hold on to it. And that's what they focus on. John said, if we love these things, the love of the Father is not in us. And that's just describing again that we make a choice. What's important to us? What matters most to us? Where is our emphasis? That's what John is talking about. So there must be a new birth, as described in Romans, the 6th chapter. And in verses 1 through 4, he talks about there, putting off the old man of sin, dying with Christ, being buried with him in baptism, and rising to walk in what? A newness of life. A new birth. A new beginning. One of God's great blessings. And it results in what should be a new life. This is what's described for us in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. There in verses 1 through 15. He talks about, again, what is to be put off. And what is to result in a new life. All that means, again, is we've left the old addictions of sin behind. We put them away, and we're living a new life. That's the very essence of repentance. Starting with one changing his thinking, starting with a change from the inside, yielding to the will of Jesus Christ in his life, and starting a new and a better life. The question which remains for every one of us to solve and to resolve within ourselves is, what will we be addicted to? Now, when we talk about this, I understand that this word sounds like a bad word, and it depends on what it is that we're focusing on. It's kind of like the word lust. You very rarely ever think of the word lust in a good sense. It's almost always connected in the Bible with an evil desire or something that's out of control, but there are just a very few times that it's actually used in a good way. And the same with this word addicted. In that one case in the New King James Version, it's actually used in a good sense. So what do we mean? Well, Romans 6 puts it this way in verse 16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? That's really pretty much describing the idea of addiction. Who do you present yourselves to obey? What do you follow? Either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. And so we're told in Romans 6, there in verse 12, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. What is he saying? Don't be addicted to it. Don't be caught up in it. Don't be controlled by it to make you obey its passions. You see, that's loss of self-control. You choose it. You get into it. Sin can't take you captive without your will. Remember, you've got the power of choice. But if it's possible, Satan will make you obey its passions. That's what his desire is. So he said, you are at the control. Don't turn over the reins to sin. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. That's what's wrong for any of us to do, is to use our body, and we'll focus more on this in the next lesson, how that using our body as an instrument to sin with is a violation of why God gave us our body in the first place. He said, present yourselves to God. Be addicted to what is good. You're still giving yourself to a master, but not a worldly master, to a heavenly master, as those who have been brought from death to life. You see, when we yield our body as an instrument of sin, we're dead. Even while we live, we're dead. That's what he's saying. He describes it as death because it's separation from God. He's brought us back to life when we yield to him, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Let's think about the term addict. When we talk about addict, giving assent to give oneself up habitually to, a person addicted to some habit is an addict. Well, we all have habits, do we not? Some good, maybe some not good. How addicted are we? How controlled are we by them? To a person, again, addicted to some habit as to the use of a drug. And it may not be a chemical addiction. It may be simply a mental addiction. It may be, you know, as in the case of gambling, and the one that just throws his life away in gambling, it's not chemical. He's not taking a chemical into his body. It's psychological. It's mental. But again, it can be that way. The word addicted, on the other hand, used as an adjective, has a shade of different meaning. It means to be devoted to, or give up to a practice or a habit, especially a bad habit, according to Webster, but it doesn't have to be a bad habit. Think about this in the right term. To be devoted to. To whom? Could it be to God? Well, certainly it could be. I find it interesting when I came here and there was talk about original plans in the extra land to that the congregation had in the back, and things that had been given, plans that had been made for that, and how some of the neighbors had said, those people are always meeting. You know, that sounds like addiction, doesn't it? They're always meeting. You know, to the world, we look pretty strange. You know, every Sunday, twice on Sunday, and coming back on Wednesday, and then we have gospel meetings, and you know, in a sense, isn't that to be devoted to something? It should be. Not a bad thing if it's to God to be devoted or given up to a practice, the practice of worshiping, the practice of meeting and studying the Bible. That would not be a bad addiction. That would be exactly what we should be. That's putting God first in our life. And then the word addiction is the condition of being addicted to a habit, habitual inclination. You know, I'm thankful I was raised in a home where I do not remember not going to services. And I don't remember making the decision. You know, I was raised to go by godly parents, and it was just understood where we would be on Sundays and where we would be on Wednesdays. And when gospel meetings came, we would be there. It was just a part of life growing up. And so I've had that habit from the beginning, and it's a great habit. I'm thankful I was raised that way. And not all have been, but all can make this same choice, whether you were raised that way or not. When you learn the value of this, when you learn the benefit of being addicted to what is good, to what is right, we just make a better choice. Sometimes we have to make new decisions and go new directions in our life. And we're the ones at the control. So you can be addicted to something good or something evil. You have the power to be one of the happiest persons on earth. You read through the book of Philippians, and it talks about the joy of being a child of God. Rejoice always in all things. And there's reason for that. When you look at the different life of the Christian because of the different choices that he makes, his addictions lead him in a good way, to a better life. and to happiness and joy. Joy and happiness come from within, from living a righteous life. And Christians are not happy because their lives are perfect and they don't ever have any problems. They don't ever lose their laptops or anything like that. You know, it's not a perfect life. It's not without problems, but it's the means to deal with whatever happens in life and to overcome it and be able to pillow your head at night knowing that whatever happens in the world, whatever happens to you, you have a home in heaven. You have the peace that passes all understanding. Now, the fruit of godly living is peace and being well off in the inner being. And it's like so many other things, you know, even on this trip that we made, there were many times that we tried to take a picture of something and we often said, you know, it just doesn't do it justice. You just have to see it. You can't really capture it. And to me, that's what we could say all the time about being a Christian. You can say these things and people say, oh yeah, but you have to experience it. You have to become a Christian. You have to start making the right choices in order to understand the benefit and the value of being a Christian. And what when he calls it a peace that passes understanding, you're not going to understand it until you have it. And when you have it, you'll know it. And it's not because you're addicted to peace. You know, it's not that you make a journey here to decide to go out and find peace and happiness. You've made a decision to be addicted to God, to put Him first in your life, in the kingdom, and then you find that the great consequence and benefit is the peace that passes understanding that comes from a righteous life. This is what we're told. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. We've been talking a lot about that in this series and how much it's commanded of us. But he tells us this is the fruit of the Spirit. How do I get these things? How do I get love, joy, peace, and then self-control? By being addicted to God and His Word. This is where He instructs me. He leads me in this direction. He and listening to Him, making the right choices based on what He tells me to do, the fruit that comes from that in my life will be self-control, along with love, joy, and peace. And I'll tell you, there's nothing much greater than knowing you're in control. Your life is in control. You're not addicted to or controlled by Satan or by the lusts of the flesh. You're not a slave to some sin in the flesh, because Christ has made you free. So reflecting the Christ-like life, which our Savior left for us as an example to live by, we are told, let your light shine. This life that we live is to be so different, so attractive, it leads others to observe it and know you're different, and to seek it. It's one of God's greatest evangelistic tools, that others see what we have. And, you know, that's as simple as, I mean, this happens all of the time. People see other things that you have that they like, and they'll say, where did you get that? And they want to know, you know, because they see it's different than what they have, and they like it. They should see that your manner of life, your manner of dealing with troubles and trials and difficulties, they can see that you still have them, but you handle them different than others. And they see this calmness, this joy, this peace in your life, if it's really there. And they want it too. And they're going to ask about it. So he said, let your light shine and show others and tell them why. Because you are to be the light of the world, the city that is set on a hill. You are to let your light shine before others, that they will see the good works. They'll see what you're addicted to. Guarantee you, your neighbors know when you go to church. And they think about that. They see what you, again, put first in your life. They know what you say you believe, and they examine, they watch you. your co-workers, your friends, your neighbors, they are watching your life. And even those of you in high school and college, again, that make friends, they know and they watch and they measure what you say and what you do. Let your light shine. Let them see the peace of God. Let them see the example of God in your life. And give glory to the Father. Nehemiah 8 and verse 9 makes this statement. Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, and do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Think about that statement. These people were weeping and mourning. They had returned to Jerusalem. They were thinking about the way things had been, how great the temple and all of this and the walls and the city had been in the past before it was destroyed. They had gone through great trials. They had been in captivity. They returned. They were rebuilding. But they needed encouragement. And Nehemiah and Ezra were encouraging to them. And they reminded them, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it is still today for us as Christians. Regardless of what happens in our life, we have the joy of the Lord. We have peace that passes understanding. When we focus on God, when we make good choices, God is our strength and the joy of the Lord. And we need not to forget that. There are millions, millions seeking this same joy or satisfaction in drugs, in alcohol, or gambling, or fornication. Donna and I, on the last night we were there, you know, we love good coffee. So we like Starbucks coffee. And Starbucks began in Seattle. There was a place called Pike Market. So we thought, well, we'd go down there. Well, you know, Jethro goes to the big city. So we got in our car. We got on First Street. Well, little did we know there is a baseball game going on there that night, and everybody's on First Street. So we're on that street, getting close to the market, and we start looking around. And we decided real quick, you know, we don't belong in this crowd. So we drove close, and finally we decided we've got to get out of here or it'll be Tuesday, you know, before we get home. But we were watching because we weren't moving, so we were watching the people. And corner after corner, there were people that were, you know, that were out there just, they didn't know where they were. They didn't know what was going on. They were, you know, waving and preaching and talking and nobody around. Now, is that life? You know, these people were so high on something, they had no idea what was going on around them or anything of that nature. And unfortunately, there are people like that all over that are looking for what the Christian has: joy, peace, happiness, and hope. But they think it's found in a bottle. They think it's found in some type of drug. They think it's found in gambling. You know, we passed casino after casino. I really believe the Indians are getting even, because on every Indian reservation, there seems to be a casino. And they're taking the money back. And then fornication, you know, on and on. These are the things people are addicted to. These are the things they're focusing on. And it will never bring them the joy and the satisfaction that they want. Remember the three main points we're making throughout this series. That sin will never give you what you're really wanting. It will take you further than you want to go in every case. Remember, it's at the controls. You don't get to say, enough, I want to stop, I don't like where you're taking me. It goes further. Remember that once it gets you, it wants to hold on to you and keep you. And you want to let it go. You want to say enough. But no, it wants to keep you longer. And it will always cost you more than you really want to pay. You know, I don't think there would be sinners if Satan showed you the bill up front and said, if you make this choice, here's what you will pay.
Who would say yes to that? We wouldn't.
But he hides the cost. It's kind of like you go into a big restaurant and you look at the menu and the prices aren't there. Beware when you order. Understand what you will pay. And Satan gives you the menu and he says, here's what you can have. Well, what does it cost? Never mind about that. Just pick what you want. So again, that's where we are when it comes to sin. And there is no real lasting joy, no real satisfaction in any of these. Instead, sin will steal your joy and take away your peace. Just like David said in Psalm 51 and verse 3, he yielded, he gave in to the lust of the flesh. And later he said, I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. It controlled him, it consumed him. And David said, it is ever before me. And he requested of the Lord in verse 12, restore to me the joy. What sin had cost him was his joy of the Lord. That, remember, is to be our strength. He wanted it back. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with a willing spirit. He wanted back what he had lost. And as long as we remain enslaved to sin, joy, peace, and happiness can never be ours. That's what we give up. That's what we sacrifice. Because again, the word rejoice in Philippians 4 and verse 4 is rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Outside of the Lord, we do not have that reason to rejoice. But in Philippians 4:11, a remarkable statement that we're familiar with by Paul, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Can you say that? Does the drug addict say that? When he wakes up, he steals from his own relatives. He breaks into somebody else's house. He'll steal a TV or anything he can get his hands on to get another fix. Has he found satisfaction? Or the one that is consumed with desires involving fornication? The one consumed with pornography? Does he find satisfaction? Which addict can truthfully say to Paul, with Paul here, I have learned to be content? Only the one who gives himself completely and wholly to God and is addicted to righteousness can learn that contentment. But how do I get rid of my addiction to sin? How can I be free of the old man of sin? Well, again, I've got to crucify the old man. That's what Paul said in Romans 6, verse 1 through 7. Put him to death. Put the old man to death. Resurrect the new man. The one that is in the image of God. And he describes that in Romans 6, in verse 8 through 11. A resurrection. Putting God, the old sinful person, to death and putting on the new man. And it starts by renewing your mind. Again, you've got to start from the inside out. The only way to be free from the addiction of the old man is to renew yourself from the inside. Colossians 3 tells us in verse 1, if you then have been raised with Christ, and that's meaning in this act of baptism, you put off the old man, starting in your mind, you repent. You say, I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm going to become a Christian. And then if you do that, you're baptized. You've been raised with Christ. You're a new creature. Then what? Seek the things that are above. What he's saying is be addicted to good things. Where Christ is. Focus on that. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Because you see, if you don't set your mind on the right things, you'll be right back in the wrong things. Not on things on the earth, because you died. This old man that was addicted to and seeking the things of the earth, he died. That's not you anymore. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. So in Colossians 3 and verse 5, he said, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Stop living for the lust of the flesh. Stop using your body and listening to that and letting it control the spiritual man. Put to death sexual immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming.
In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. No one can put them away for you. No one can make that choice but you. You must put them away, including anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Why? You put off that old self. You're not a liar anymore. You put it away with its practices, and you've put on the new self. So just like you had old clothing, and you put it off, and you put on new, it's different. Which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Again, what you are to reflect is the image of the Creator. So be addicted to righteousness. Be addicted to putting the kingdom of God first in your life. And focus on that. We all know what first means. This is the place the old habits of sin had in our life before. And now it's to be God. Now to find the true peace and go to heaven, there has to be a new number one in my life. I need to be addicted to righteousness, reflecting the image of my Creator. Are you? Are you? My question to you is, what are you addicted to? What do you spend your time and attention and efforts on most in your life? If it's not God, make it that today, if you would. While together we stand and sing to encourage you.